something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Folks, today, get into a conversation with our friend, our in-house doctor, Dr. Jonathan Metzl, about just the exhaustion that we are feeling and asking him, as, you know, a psychologist, how do we move through this moment? And, you know, I'll say that I was surprised by Jonathan's answer, which you all will hear in a bit. But what I will say is, you know, something to the effect of what I posted earlier this week, which is this. And I was specifically talking about the Supreme Court, because if you've been following the Supreme Court this week, my God, are they so fucking clear about who is allowed to protest in America, namely white insurrectionists that are trying to overthrow the government, who they've decided that they're no longer going to look at the obstruction law, because apparently building a gallows, beating up police officers, apparently that's not an issue. That's apparently patriotic. But organizing a march after the killing of George Floyd, which is what DeRay McKennison did, now that somehow is criminal, and you can be held liable for the organization of said rally if, in fact, somebody, namely a police officer, is hurt. It's bullshit, and I'm fucking over it. And what I said is this. The Supreme Court of the United States has effectively banned mass protests in 3 states, feels uncomfortable with the use of an obstruction law for the insurrectionists that tried to overthrow our election, and are slow walking the presidential immunity case for Trump. We're all we got. Vote. And what do I mean by that? I think that for the last several years, right, under Trumpism and MAGA, that we have been looking to external forces to save us, right? To shake this, you know, country that it has been, I don't know, lulled into complacency or are under the spell of the world's greatest grifter, Donald Trump. We've been looking to the courts. We've been looking to, you know, our elected officials to do what's right. And no one has. Right to this point. And what I realize is that the only people that can save us are us. We're the last defense against the final death knell of Trumpism. Now, you can say to yourself, well, you know, we have Joe Biden and we lost abortion and we lost affirmative action. Those things are true. We also have to remember that Donald Trump, because he was president and elected in 2016 and sworn in 2017, because of America's deep-seated misogyny and hatred for women, he had the ability to appoint not one, not two, but three Supreme Court justices. Right? So we're here because of America's desire for a strong man. We're here because apparently Hillary Clinton's emails were just too overwhelming that we decided to go with a four times now indicted, 91 charged fucking criminal to be our president of the United States. We didn't know the extent of his crimes that he would commit while in office, but we sure as hell knew who the fuck he was before when he was on Access Hollywood talking about, I can grab them by the pussy. That should have been disqualifying enough. So we were able to stave off Donald Trump in 2020 in the midst of a global health pandemic. And folks, if we have the ability to do it one last time, Donald Trump's fucking, I don't know, benefit of the doubt will finally have run its fucking course. And those criminal cases and those court cases will now have full breath and will be full steam ahead because the excuse of the election and the excuse of him being a candidate will no longer be there. So if we can hang the fuck on and do what is necessary, even though it is hard, even though we may not like it, then we can live to fight another day. And so, you know, with the exhaustion, with the grief, with the weariness, I get into a conversation with our friend, Dr. Jonathan Metzl, about how we continue to move forward. Folks, you know, whenever we have the opportunity to chat with our in-house doctor, Dr. Jonathan Metzl, I am always pleased and happy. Jonathan, how are you?
Pleased and happy. I like how you put that. That's how I feel.
No, pleased and happy.
You know, yeah, I'm hanging in there. I mean, you know, what can you do at this point? We have bird flu in our eggs, you know, but it's a beautiful day outside. So,
you know, well, I want to start off, honestly, because I've been in a lot of meetings and a lot of conversations where people are feeling this rise in frenetic energy. They are feeling like things in our society, in the world, are just moving rapidly in the wrong direction. And, you know, we are getting close to the 6-month mark until this presidential election. And I want to come to you as our in-house doctor and saying, like, how do people manage emotionally during this time as everything is becoming incredibly just devastatingly overwhelming?
Well, thank you. And I'm going to then ask you a question as an in-house social media expert after I answer that question.
Sure.
But I mean, it's funny because, like, I feel like for people like you and I, we were kind of built for this moment. Like, I'm always doing 900 things and the world's always coming to an end. And it's not pleasant, but like my brother said to me the other day, he said, sometimes the sky is falling. And so I think right now it's a time to like recognize there just is an unbelievable amount of uncertainty and instability. As we've talked about here, a ton of it goes back. I mean, we've always had uncertainty, but when people say that, I don't think they account for many things, including what we've talked about here, which is that the pandemic actualized the sense that the world could come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that mortality could come from breathing somebody else's air. And so, in a way, I feel like even though there always has been instability, it's personal in a way because of the pandemic, and also because a lot of things that were happening in other places are now happening here. And also because what's happening here is reflective of a much bigger global agenda of attacks on liberal democracy in the Middle East, in India, in South America, which we haven't talked about anywhere near enough, where liberals are attacking liberal democracy. So in other words, the pandemic and social media and TikTok just gave voice to, it's just a toolkit for authoritarians, and we're seeing that all over the place. So it does feel like we live in a really momentous biblical moment. And so what will make you feel better in that moment? Well, number one, is vote, for sure, because it's not like we don't have agency right now. And I'm just mirroring a lot of things you've been saying a lot on media and social media. And I think you're exactly right that it's not like, I mean, what, it's not like it's helpless right now. We have a choice before us that actually I think can reverse the course of a lot of things in the United States for the better. In other words, if Trump convincingly loses, the Republicans will, I think that'll be enough of Trump for the many Republicans. I know there's many more Trumps on the way, but I just think voting right now is important. And I don't think we should give people an off-ramp from that. So that it's partially a political answer, but then it's all the stuff we've talked about here also, which is to try to articulate, to try to prioritize all the things you do just to organize around your house you can do in the world. Like, what's the most important thing? What am I responding to? How can I take breaks? All those kind of things. So there are certainly mental health things that are important right now, but I'm kind of, I mean, it's funny. I gave a big talk at the University of Louisville yesterday, and I said anxiety is generative right now. It tells you that something is not right. And so acting on that, checking out is sometimes not the right response, that instead stepping forward is the right response. And I still kind of feel that way.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love, one, everything that you just said, and in particular, when you started off with what your brother said, that sometimes the sky is falling, right? Like, sometimes it is as bad as your mind, right? Because our mind does have a way of playing tricks on us. But the reality is that what we're seeing and what we're feeling is as bad as what we're seeing and what we're feeling. And I think that we have a desire as humans to create a new story in our heads. And what you just offered is that, like, we still have choices before us, right? Like,
all actually is not lost and that we do still have agency for this time being. And what I'm focusing on is that the next 6.5 months are the most crucial, not just for this country, but I think for ourselves and our psyche and understanding like where our agency is, but also, Jonathan, where our impact needs to be as individuals and as a collective. And so I wonder for you, you know, when you talk about agency and you say like people can still vote, we know that the voting is not happening for the next several months. And so what does it look like to take care of your emotional and mental and spiritual well-being at a time when the sky actually is falling?
Well, first, nothing will make you feel emotionally better than voting. So let's just get that out there. And I'm, you know, it's before I answer that question again, I will say I've interviewed a lot of people recently because I'm doing this project in the Middle East now. And like for Israelis I talk to who are like lefty, liberal, you know, anti-occupation, oppressed by their own government now, I've asked them in recent interviews, like, what moment would you go back to? And I thought they would say before October 7th, but they all say the day before we didn't vote as strongly as we could for the, like, their whole world turned the day after that election. They couldn't believe how much the entire, the everything changed. And I've heard this before from people who, you know, in my, of my elder relatives in Europe, that everything was fine. And then 20 days later, the whole world was different. And so I think, first of all, is to conceptualize the, I'm not going to give an out here to say, yes, people should take care of their mental health. That's really important, and take breaks and go on trips and do recess and all that stuff. But I also think staying engaged is really, really important. So I think the natural answer for somebody like me, a psychiatrist, would be everybody, do all the roofie you need to, that's for sure, and float around and stuff like that. But honestly, we need to stay engaged right now. Like we're up against the other side who they're super engaged and they feel energized. And the reason I want to highlight, even though I know it's problematic in many other ways, but the Israeli example, why I think it's useful for us to think about, is if you look at all this election data in Israel, the election that got Netanyahu and people who were a million times worse than Netanyahu in power and created all these things and didn't change the course in the country, the liberals were told their vote didn't matter, and they voted roughly in the same numbers they had voted in the election before, but they didn't realize the conservatives were all being told, this is our moment to take control over the liberals. And so the conservatives, the right wing, all these people in Israel, all the messianic nut jobs, they all voted 1.5 times their usual average, much more than they normally did. And so we should, again, take care of our health. But I'm resisting giving a psychiatrist answer because I also think it's important to note we're up against another side that is not resting right now. And so do what you need to, you know, for sure. But also recognize that like engagement is really important. Civic engagement is really important right now because the message that we're being told is to check out because the system doesn't matter for us. So I apologize. I know you want me to tell people to like...
I want you to tell people the truth. It isn't like I tell people all of the time. I mean, the whole point of Woke AF is to make people conscious to the systemic injustices that we are existing under and in, right? And I think that the point is that I also want people to recognize that we don't need everyone to be engaging in rapid response. I need some people to be thinking about like what impact actually looks like, right? And what real change and sustainable change looks like, right? Like everyone has a role to play in this moment. And also, you can't really navigate this moment if you are emotionally, spiritually, and physically unwell, right? So I believe that there is a both and proposition. You can be engaged and also take good care of your emotional and physical and spiritual well-being because one can't happen without the other.
It's interesting. I gave a talk. Where was I? I think I was in Pittsburgh. Okay. I've given a lot of talks recently. And I was talking about how gun owners felt energized because there was a 40-year NRA plan to take over the Supreme Court. And kind of everybody knew it, but they were part of this really coherent narrative, which was partially about guns. That was my talk. But it was also that the end goal wasn't guns. The end goal was taking over the Supreme Court and owning the libs. And somehow, like, people all up and down the food chain for the right that I'd interviewed, I said, felt like, oh, this is our strategy. And it actually, which makes sense of some of the interviews I did in Dying of Whiteness also, it made sense to them. And they felt like, oh, this is our strategy in a way. And I realize it's harder with our side because we have 90,000 different strategies. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a lot of anxiety because we don't have a coherent long-term strategy. And so somebody in the audience said, how can we give that strategy? How can we teach liberals? She was like, how can I teach my liberal students to play the long game? And I said, well, first think about all the barriers to thinking about the long game, right? The whole world is trying to get you to have an immediate response to something you just heard about 5 seconds ago. But that's a strategy to make you feel overwhelmed, right? In other words, long game doesn't come from TikTok. In fact, TikTok disrupts the long game. And so in a way, having people not, but it was just interesting for me how many like gun people I interviewed in 2011, you know, or something, who felt like, yeah, man, this is crazy, but this is our long-term strategy. And I mean, like really people who were part of this grassroots thing. So I don't know. I think part of the anxiety is about, I don't know how to say this, but it's like almost like it's like having 900 agendas, but no long game in a way. And also consciously being distracted from having a long game. So I just feel like a lot of this anxiety, if we all felt like, oh my God, we're working on the Obama campaign right now. And it's all about hope and all these things. Like we had one narrative. So I everybody should go for a jog or buy a fake pet or water your plants. All that stuff's really important. I'm making a lot of jokes about like self-care. Self-care is important. But I also think like, I just feel like people on our side are feeling disproportionate amount of anxiety because we need a coherent long-term strategy that's not generated by social media.
But that's exactly right. Like one, social media, the whole point is to get you to stay on. And there's nothing that makes you stay on more than like doom scrolling and catastrophe, right? Like that's the point and the goal. So once you know that, you can decide how you want to utilize social media, right? Do you want to stay in doom scroll or do you want to take respites from that? And that doesn't necessarily, again, mean just like tuning out, because to your point, the opposition isn't tuning out, but they are also inside of a very loud echo chamber. And that's what I want people to understand too, is that like, I don't really know to the extent of how big the rights movement is. I don't know if it's 30% or 50% or 60%. I have no idea because of how cable news and how social media amplifies their messaging and their points and their wins, right? And so, which is why every time that there's an abortion ballot measure, we're shocked that like it doesn't pass because the people actually do show up. So we say that people aren't engaged, but clearly when the message is very clear about what's at stake, they are very engaged and they show up to our surprise. Every time that we've heard there be talk about a red wave, that has not happened, right? And so not to say to rest on our laurels and think that there isn't work to do. There is absolutely work to do. But I think how we do that work is really what my question is if you're using the Israelis as an example and their postmortem on Netanyahu's election.
One example.
You know, if you're using it as one example and like the reflection on, you know, what should have happened prior to, I guess it is, if we're using that, then what should be happening 6 months ahead of time?
Well, I think the main thing, like, it's weird, like, it really does fall back on your own social networks. I mean, I think that's also true, right? That in a way, everything you're talking about, that the mobilizing, all those kind of things, it doesn't mean convincing people who weren't going to vote for stuff we care about to vote for it. It means mobilizing in your own social networks to get people who aren't going to vote to vote. Because the whole strategy, and we've talked about this a million times, but like from that Cambridge Analytica strategy on down, the strategy of their side is to get people to feel like their vote doesn't matter or the system is not working for them. It's not to get them to vote for Trump. It's to get them to not vote or to vote for, you know, Jill Stein or something like that. And so in a way, it's really about like mobilizing your own networks to vote. I think that's, you know, if everybody in all of our networks votes, we're in fine shape. You know, I mean, fine shape as much as staving off this catastrophe, but then we still have a lot of work to do, obviously. But so I would say like fighting disengagement in your own networks is certainly very important. Explaining to people how we're being tricked into thinking the system won't work for us is very important. And here's where I'm going to ask you my question now. The number of times I want to craft a tweet about this. Will you help me craft a tweet? Because I'm bad at tweeting. The number of times that I've heard people say this, fill in the blank, and that's therefore how could anybody vote for Biden? But I hear people on both sides of exactly the same issue say it. So in other words, like there was a rabbi in the security line in the airport yesterday when I was flying, and he said, he's not letting us fight back against Iran. How could anybody in their right mind vote for Joe? How could any Jewish person in their right mind vote for Joe Biden? And I just thought, man, that's exactly the same thing I've heard from like my progressive colleagues, but the exact opposite side. How can anybody in their right mind vote for Biden because he's, you know, genocide Joe and all that kind of thing? So the exact opposite side, how can anybody? But it's also true for a million issues that it's like totally both sides of the coin lead to how could anybody vote for Joe Biden? And you know, I just want to scream like, what do you think is going to, like, do you think Trump is going to answer and make both sides of this debate happy or something? So I don't know. It's just weird how much like, it's just weird how many issues people on both sides see, oh, and therefore Trump is going to be a better option than we have now. So
it's not, that's not that. And I, it's a reframing that needs to happen because that's not what people think. They don't think that Trump is going to be right. Better. So it's not, the retort to that is not, well, Donald Trump is not going to be any better. The retort to that, to me, and what I have been doing, is to revert it back to people's rights and freedoms. Like, I continue to say that this election is not between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It's between the rights that you want to have and the rights that you're willing to lose. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't, I'm not going to have, you know, larger conversations about, you know, democracy on Twitter and this and that. But it's just like, I continue to say that you're not going to be able to fight for democracy or whatever your version of democracy is elsewhere if you lose it in these United States. So the question is, what rights are you willing to lose that you have not lost already? Right? And have people understand that things, if Donald Trump becomes president, will change at a pace that no one is actually prepared for. Like, it's not going to take 4 years. It's not going to take 4 months, right? And so I think that the response to that is not, well, do you think that Donald Trump will be better? It's, what rights are you willing to give up?
Do you think there's a way? And again, it just, the irony for me is people don't see it, right? It's just people on both sides of the same issue. Like, it would make more sense intellectually, even though I know, of course, you're right. It would make more sense intellectually for me if people had said, he's pro-gun and, or he's anti-gun and I'm pro-gun or something like that. Like, in other words, like my candidate is going to deliver for me better than Joe Biden is or something like that. But it's not even linked to that. It's almost like Trump becomes the default choice because Biden isn't delivering on fill in the
blank.
Yeah. I mean, Biden's not delivering on a lot of things, no doubt.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not at a place of impossibility at this moment. We still have choices.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you choosing? Are you choosing your rights, right? Or are you choosing not to have any more rights? Like, that to me is the fundamental thing. Like, you know, you think that if you're living in a blue state that, oh, I'm going to be safe. No, you are not, right? We have the National Guard in the subway stations here without any clear guidance on to when they're going to leave.
There was an excellent essay in The Trace about that, actually.
Yeah, you have abortion right now in this state, but not if an anti-abortion agenda becomes nationalized. So to me, the conversation isn't about like, well, how can you vote for Joe Biden? It's how can you even consider voting against your own rights?
And also, I mean, maybe there's a way to also, you tell me, aspirationally put a spin on that, which I really do believe that America has the opportunity to show the world how to fight back against totalitarianism. In other words, like there's so many societies that are on the brink right now. India really comes to mind a lot, but Argentina, and I mean, the list is really long. And so if America has the, you know, America can show the world how to save democracy. I mean, I realize we're not great at looking globally in this country, but maybe there's a way to also frame it that way, or you think it's about everybody, the way we think in this country, it's all about our rights and our freedoms?
I mean, I think that right now it is all about our rights and our freedoms. I don't think that we're really interested in what and how to frame it globally. I think that the issue is having people really focus honestly on themselves.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the way, that's going to be the way forward, is I need people to really think about themselves, their lives, their families over the next few months and ask yourself, you know, what are you willing to lose from what it is that you have right now? Because you will lose a lot.
I wish people could hear some of these interviews I'm doing. I mean, I'm writing it up a little bit, but it's kind of like, it's one of those moments, like, remember the moment after Trump won, like the next day everybody was crying and in shock. Like, people kind of realized in other places that just how deeply their world completely, completely changed. Like in one day, just the air was flowing in a different direction and stuff like that. Like the entire world was totally different. And so I don't know this. It's just like, if you can have people see that moment where, you know, where like, they were like, why can't I go back 3 days and like, whatever. And again, we have an awful lot of imperfection. And part of the reason it's hard for Biden right now is because like our coalition is a lot of people asking like, am I in coalition with that? You know what I mean? Like our coalition is really divergent in a lot of ways. But man, I don't know. I just like that, that moment of like the day after and can I have a redo? I mean, it would be a million times more intense for us than that moment of like, why didn't Hillary Clinton campaign more in the Michigan. Rust Belt, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we will have to leave it there today, my friend. Thank you, as always, for making time for Woke AF. Always appreciate you.
Hang in there, everybody.
Indeed. That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF, as always. Power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.